May I speak to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. It's a great day. I'm glad to see so many people with their families here today. I like that word happy. Because to be honest with you, I like to be happy. I like happiness. This past week, I was very happy when my accountant told me that my 2020 taxes were half of what I had expected them to be. And this coming Wednesday, I will be happy again when thy house in Darien finally closes. It will be sold and done with. And as some of you all will get to know me over the next few years, I am happy anytime that Georgia wins a football game. But there's something better than happiness, as good as those things are. And what is better than happiness is joy. Joy, you see, is more than happiness. It's something deeper. It's more fundamental. It's more at the core of one's being. It's something that is so right that you just know that God is truly good. That's when you see joy. I've had many experiences of joy in my life. One was right here when my father pronounced that Allison and I were husband and wife in our wedding. I experienced joy whenever my three boys, we can get together as a family. It doesn't happen very often. They're scattered to the winds. But when we're all there together, there's joy. When I ride along the ridgeline of the Appalachian Mountains on the Blue Ridge Parkway, which I try to do every summer, on a sunny, clear day, seeing the power of God and the magnificence and beauty of those mountains, I feel joy. And thanks be to God, I think back on joy whenever I was held by my mother's arms. Joy is an appropriate thought as we gather on Mother's Day. Unfortunately, not all have experienced exactly that same joy, but for those of us who have, you know what I'm talking about. These are the times when I truly feel joy. When I glimpse the world as it was meant to be, as God created it to be, a world founded on love. That's where you find joy. And it's no surprise that joy is most clearly found in love, because God is love. God created this world in love and declared it very good. We are created in God's image. By proclaiming that God is love, we proclaim that we are most human. We are most who we are supposed to be when we love. And that's why joy is most present when God is most present. Again, because God is love. Just think of the two most joyful services of the Christian year. They're the two services which we see more Christians than any other time. I don't think there's much guessing about which two services those are. One's Christmas. Christmas, when we celebrate that God loves us so much, that God sent His Son to be with us, to be incarnate, and ultimately to give His life for us. There is joy in that love. And it is love. It's not sentiment. It's what God did for us. Because remember, love is not a feeling. Love is not a sentiment. Love is an action. It is in the form, in the Greek, it is a verb. It is to do for, to care for, to sacrifice for. And that's what God did in the incarnation. And what do we sing? We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And of course, our other most joyful service is Easter. Easter, when Jesus, in His love for humanity, has given His life for humanity to redeem humanity, and His Father in heaven has mightily raised Him from the dead in love. And we sing, Hail Thee, Festival Day, great day that are hallowed forever. Now, if I was Robert Fain, I would have sung those, but I am not Robert Fain, and I have mercy on you all. Robert Fain would have mercy, but he could still sing. And there's a prayer that we pray at an odd time that speaks to love. And it's on the fifth Sunday of Lent. And most of us, when we think of Lent, we're not thinking about love. We're thinking about, oh my goodness, what have I given up now? What am I supposed to be doing? But the truth of the matter is, Lent is the time when we examine our lives and turn our lives back to God, back to the one who loves us, which we are, in essence, like Mother's Day. We are focusing our attention on the one who loves us the most. So in Lent, we pray this prayer. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. It's a profound prayer because it says we will find that true joy in one place, and that's in the love of God. But you notice it says, give your people grace to love what you command. So what does God command of us? What does Jesus command? Comes back to that same word, folks. Jesus summarizes the law and the prophets by saying, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then in our reading today from John's Gospel, where John is, this is again part of the last discourse where Jesus is giving his disciples their last instructions before he is to go to the cross. Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now think about that commandment. Jesus tells them to love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus is preparing and knowing that he is going to, within 24 hours, have been hung on the cross for their redemption. And Jesus says, that's how you're supposed to love one another. That's that giving for, caring for, sacrificing for love. And that's where true joys are to be found. Now, that's a hard act to follow, no question. But it's exactly what Jesus does command. As he says again in our gospel reading today, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Rest in that love. Rest in that love of God, because it is in the knowledge of God's love of us, resting in God's love, that we are enabled, as best as we humans can, which is not perfect, to love as Jesus has commanded us to love. Then Jesus goes on to declare something pretty radical. He says that you're not servants, but you're friends of God. Again, think about that for a moment. Think about the omnipotent, omniscient God Almighty, and that God declares that we are his friends. It's because God loves us, and God wants us to share in his joy. But now, before we get too, to use the word cocky, about being friends of God, how special we are, to be too full of ourselves, we need to keep in mind our story today from the Acts of the Apostles. I'm surprised they gave us such a short reading, because if you don't know what comes right before that, what we read today doesn't make much sense. What happens right before that is Peter is in Joppa. He has a vision. He sees these animals coming down from heaven, and an angel speaks to him in the vision and says, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter says, because these animals would be unclean animals to the Jews. Peter says, oh no, I can't do that. I've never eaten anything that was unclean. And the angel speaks to Peter and says, what God has declared clean, you shall not call profane. About that same time, two servants of a Roman centurion show up at Peter's door, because the centurion has received a vision that says, send your servants to this person called Peter. have him come to your house because he's got something to tell you. And the angel speaks to Peter and says, go with these people. So Peter and some of his friends go with the servants to the home of the centurion. That's pretty remarkable right there, because the centurion is not a Jew. And the Jews are not supposed to have anything to do with the Gentiles. Be unclean to go enter the house of a Gentile. But yet they go, they feel commanded by God, and they go there, and Peter preaches the gospel to them. And what you heard today was the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were speaking in tongues. They basically were having a Pentecostal moment. And then the people who were with Peter said, they were, according to our reading today, they were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. What's important there is that Peter begins to understand, his other people begin to understand, that God's love is not just for the Jewish people, although he does love the Jewish people. They understand that now that God loves all people. All people are God's people. And we are called then to love all people. That's the commandment, when we are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. So Jesus' command extends, as I say, to all people. If we are to come where true joys are to be found, it will be found in love. It will be found in God's love for us, our love of God, our love of all of God's people, and that means the love of all of humanity. Every single human being we are commanded to love, to give for, care for, sacrifice for, because God has done that for that same person. And yes, it's hard. But if you ever become doubtful of the power of love, the necessity of love, remember these words that Jesus said in our reading today about love. Jesus said, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Happy Mother's Day.